Today's Mishnah in Masechet Yadayim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Beit, Mishnah Gimel. Now it's time to discuss a completely different issue in the Mishnah, which we talked about just as an example yesterday, but which we finally are coming to discuss along with what is the shear and what is the type of natla that you can use, and what type of water can you use. And we now find out that what is the hand that you use, meaning what is considered to be the definition of hand in the words Netilat Yadayim. Well, Hayadayim mitamot umitaharot, hands can become tameh and become tahor with Netilas Yadayim, defined as a hand ad haperek. Anything beyond that perek, which is a joint, anything beyond that is not part of the hand. And therefore, in both directions, it's not part of the hand. It cannot be mittame, and it cannot be mittame. And, well, first of all, what is the joint that we're referring to? Ad haperek. Well, the truth is that that is a big machlokas, because according to the Rif, the meaning of ad aperek is the kona shel zroa, which is the wrist, and according to the Rush, it's a reference to the knuckles, the chibor etzbaot lekaf hayad. Halacha lemaisa, of course, the Beit Yosef says it's kedai to always be machmer, even for chulin, to be noyeg like the Rif, that it means all the way up to your wrist. When it comes to truma, the halacha is that it's got to be up to your wrist. So, this makes a big nafkamina, as we noted yesterday, in the issue that we were talking about yesterday, and that is that only a hand is metame the water that is poured over the hand for netilas yadayim. If you pour water on an area of the body that's not the hand, let's say it's directly above the hand, then that water's not going to become tame. But if some of the water that was on your hand that was used for the netila spritzes onto your forearm, and then that's the same as landing in a puddle. And what's the din if it lands in a puddle? At that point, it's called tameh because it had been used for the tumas yadayim, which was below the wrist. Now, if that water comes back and touches your hand, it will be metame your hand. So that means, whether it's in terms of mitameh or mitameh, it's very important to distinguish between the area that's called hand and the area that's not called hand. Moshe Handel will give us all of the prate dinim in his handy, he's got a simple guide to the dinim of Netilas Yadayim. Not a bad idea, huh? A beautiful illustrated guide to hands. So, Ketzad, let me show you how this works. Let's say you did the Mayim Arishonim right up to the Perek. Now you bring your second cup of water, and the Mayim Shniyim, a little bit too many Mayim Shniyim. The Mayim Shniyim washed everything off, but it landed on top of the perek, some of it. And some of it came back down. So what? So buttons. What's the difference? Everything is tahar. Because remember, the water that was exposed to your upper, your forearm, up or beyond the what we're calling the perek, they can't become tameh. The mayim hashniyim is metayer the water that was tameh, which of course is defined as the water that was left on your yad. The chachamim were metayer that water. Once the mayim shniyim are poured over, we don't start saying, well, maybe there was some mayim rishonim left in it. No, the way to do things is to pour mayim shniyim. You poured mayim shniyim, all this water is tahar by definition. Now, what's your problem? That some of it went ahead and touched your arm? Who cares? Your arm can't be metame water. So everything would be fine, and it would be tahor. So that shows you that that area is not going to be metame mayim. Now, let me show you the other point, that the yadayim only become tahor till that point if you were no-till the rishonim and the shniyim chutz l'perek. So how about you first put on water that went up beyond the perek? And then there were chozer liyat. Now, did the mayim shniim that touched the water that had spritzed up beyond your hand onto your arm, did the mayim shniim work to make them tahar? No, because mayim shniim don't work on puddles. And that water on your forearm is a puddle. It's no difference than water that was on a tzoror that we spoke about yesterday, or on a kisim. It's a puddle, even though it was on your hand when it became a puddle and touched that tzoror. The same thing is obviously true over here. Once the mayim arishonim had been put on your hands, and they spritzed up to above, and they hit your forearm, they are now in a puddle. You now went ahead and you poured mayim shniim on those mayim rishonim. Did that do anything? No. All that it did was it messed up your mayim shniim because of their contact with water that had been used for netilas yadayim, which now is in a puddle, and you added mayim shniim to that. And we already learned yesterday that what happens in the case of a kikar shel truma that would fall into a puddle like that, it would become tamei. That's exactly what just happened. Exactly what just happened, except instead of a kikar shel truma falling into it, your hand fell into it. Because when you put the water, you held your hands up, the water went back down onto your hands. You let your hands down, the water went back down onto your hands, and that water had been on a puddle which just looked like your forearm. And because of that, your hands now become retameid. You got to do the whole Netilas Yadayim over again. You have to dry your hands first, because we already have Mayim Tmeim on there. And boy, oh boy, what a mess. So therefore, we've got a real problem. Now, the reason I'm making such a fuss about this is because, as we're going to see, La Halacha, we want to try to avoid all of these problems by utilizing a full revius of Mayim for each hand so that this can't happen, at least according to many shitas. So, let's just take a look at an additional case. In this case, you got to start all over. Now, suppose you were doing the Netilat Yadayim, and you did the Netilat Yadayim with both hands separate, sorry, both hands together, and then you decided to do the second Mayim on both hands separately. So you started off by doing a Netilah of the Mayim Rishonim over both hands. So you said somebody pours the water over both your hands, right? Now you're coming to do that second Netilah, and you're going to pour it over on one hand and then on the other hand. That's fine. Each one of those hands are tahar. Why? Aren't they now considered to be separate hands? And if they're separate hands, if one hand touches the other and one of them was washed first, then the other one is metame, the one that was washed. Because remember, as long as the water is on your hand, it's going to be metame the other hand if you didn't wash it off or dry it. So why don't we say that each hand became tame from the other one? Because when you held your hands as one and you had somebody pouring them over, they are considered to be one hand in terms of the dinim of netila. And as we know, the mayim rishonim, by definition, are not metame your hand. They're metame somebody else's hand. They're metame your other hand. But over here, you only have one hand because you put those two hands together. So now the fact that you separated those two hands and you're now pouring the mayim hashniim first on one and then on the other, don't retroactively make your original netila into the netila of two different hands which touched each other. But if you did a netila on two different hands which touched each other, you're doomed. Because then, since each hand is separate, the mayim of the Netilas Yadayim on one would be metame the other one. My gosh. Oh, my gosh. So that means the mayim hashniim never are differentiated in these terms. Mayim hashniim are always going to be metayer mayim rishonim on your hands. And the fact that you separate them doesn't mean that now the mayim hashniyim cannot be metame one hand separately. Mayim shniyim, always washing out the mayim rishonim, will not allow them to be metame anymore.
Rabbi, but what is the significance of saying the nimla? Why do I need that?
Because I would have thought that the nimlach changes the netila, and the original netila was now a netila in which shnei yadayim touched each other and pasul ben. Now, let me tell you an even bigger chiddush, massive chiddush. Instead of drying off your hands, you didn't have a towel. So how did you dry off your hand? Well, you went ahead and you dried it on the wall, rubbing them on the wall. Or how about you rubbed it on your head? How about that? How about if you wash one hand and then you rub it on the other hand to dry it off? Oh, boy, that's a serious problem. If you were not to liyado achat v'shiv shecha b'chaverta, then even the one that was nital is obviously going to be tamei. I mean, that's clear. And this is not teaching me anything, because, I mean, we just actually learned that by saying the case of the nimlach. So obviously that was our whole concern, that you're going to be metame one hand with the other hand. This is just putting those that idea into words and introducing, as the Rav says, introducing the next piece to make it clear. Hands are not heads. Why? Because the only place that the Chachamim made all of these takanas was in the world of hands, not in the world of forearms, and not in the world of heads. Touching a head is not metame. That doesn't mean that scratching a head, maybe that's something else. That is considered to be a problem of touching an area that's mechuse, that often it gets dirty. But touching your head to dry it is not metame. So therefore, even though if you had touched a hand that had been washed to a hand that hadn't been washed, and you rubbed one on the other, it would definitely ruin your netilas yadayim, and it would be metame it. But if you'd used a hand that had been washed, and you wipe it dry on your head or on the wall, it's tahar. Now, why is it tahar? Obviously, you're going to not just do this once, right? You're going to rub your hand, then you're going to put your hand back and rub it on the other way. I mean, so you're going to end up touching the mayim rishonim that now fell on your head, or that now fell on the wall, and that's going to be the same as the puddle, and that should be the same as the case where the mayim rishonim left your hand, went up on your forearm, and fell back down. So how could we say that you can dry your hands on the wall or on your head? That seems to be off the wall. You're definitely going to come into contact with that water again. That is true. However, this is another one of these special arbitrary definitions that the Rabbanan gave. Namely, the same way that the norms of Netilas Yadayim would be that while it's on your hand, it's not going to damage your hand, even though we view it as tame for other things. And only when it lands in a puddle is it a problem. So too did the Chachamim define the drying of your hands as part of the netila. And remember, that's why we make our bracha of netilas yadayim. It has to be before, like every bracha, has to be over lasiatam. It's before you do the mitzvah. So how do we make the bracha after the netilat yadayim? Well, how are you going to make it before the netilat yadayim if the hands weren't right for making a bracha? But what do I do? Well, what you do is you make the bracha after the netila, before the drying. But isn't that too late? No. The drying is considered to be part of the process. So, in the same way that the drying is part of the process vis-a-vis the bracha, the drying is part of the process vis-a-vis the original gezeira and takana. And the same way that so long as the water is on your hands, it's not metame, the drying process is by definition not a puddle. The drying process is part of how to do netilas yadayim. So if you use a towel and it's wet, that's not going to be metame you again. And if you use your head and your head is wet, it's not going to be metame you again, because you were trying to dry, not trying to sprinkle. That's the difference. And therefore, it's barosho bekotel, it is tahar. Wow. Lovely. What amazing halachas. All brand new. Now, we said, yes. So
if you then touch the wall where you wiped your hands off, the water there, are your hands in tomato? Is it a puddle?
No, it's not a puddle because it's part of...
completed my drying process.
Right. It's part of, it's like touching the towel. That's part of the netilah.
I've completed my drying process. So the netilah is over. And now I touch wet water that's on the towel. That's what's on the desk.
Oh, why so that... problem? What do you mean, why is it a problem? David is asking, maybe once it's no longer part of your drying, maybe then it becomes a puddle.
Right.
He's asking. Okay? We don't have yet sufficient information to decide that. Let's take a look as things get more exciting. So now, how about, we said that if you hold your two hands, that it's considered to be one netilah. Let me ask something else. What if you've got a lot of extra hands? Extra hands? Well, they may be attached to other people's bodies. But, I mean, we did say that a number of people can do the netilah at the same time, did we not? So suppose you got a lot of netilah. So you got four or five people, and their hands are one next to each other, or even one on top of the other. Now, since all of the hands are being one netilah, you're pouring it over from one container, that is also fine, and they're not considered to be metame one another. It doesn't make any difference. In the same way that your two hands, if you're doing one netilah on two hands, one hand is not metame the other. Another person's hands are also not metame your hands if they were part of the same netilah. So it's a din in the netilah. This all starts to make perfectly good sense. But this is only where the hands were not touching too tight. If they're touching too tight, then you got another problem. Because all along, remember, we took for granted, and here's the first time that the Mishnah is stating it clearly, the water has got to get across your entire hand. You can't have some of it covered by a hand that's tummy and say, well, it's all one gigantic hand. You don't expect it to get between the skin, do you? That you don't say. You do expect it to get between the skin. And therefore, you cannot have the hands pressed together. And it's bilvachi rapu. You have to loosen your hands. Sheyavo b'amamayim, in order that the water actually is able to touch all of the various hands. Now, there's an amazing machlokas over here. Halacha l'maisa, as to what this is referring to. Is it referring to the revius, or is it referring to the lug? Because Bepashtas, if it says five people would only be kosher if you were using a log. And why does it just say four or five people? So that is a fascinating machlokas about how we paskin, because we actually paskin halacha l'maisa that you still have the same shear. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, beferich. It means, obviously, it's only two people if it's a revius, and then if it's a chatzi lug, it's four people, and if it's a lug, it's five people. This Mishnah does not come to change the rules about the first Mishnah. But remember that we have a machlokas rishonim about whether the first Mishnah that introduced the concept of shiore taira was referring to one after another, or one at the same time or the other. If that Mishnah was referring only to one after the other in the din of Shiore Taira, then if five people wash at the same time, they would be able to wash from one revius. And that's actually the way the Drisha paskins, not like the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, again, we are, except under circumstances of great duress, we paskin l'chumra in these cases that you need to have the shiurim of the first Mishnah, even if it's happening at the same time. Remember, as we learned the halacha on that first Mishnah. Okay, amazing. Tons of chidushim, a fascinating Mishnah, and well worth chewing over for the rest of the day while Richie gets his 40 chazores done on Menachas. All right, go to the room.